Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Good day. Welcome to Putnam Talk Radio. Putnam Talk Radio, produced by Shark Creative. Made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that energy built. Also by Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk in Westchester. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard right through the Hudson Valley. And by Jaguar Land Rover, throughout the Hudson Valley, they begin their trek down south in the Hudson Valley in Westchester, in New Rochelle, White Plains, and Mount Kisco. We are joined by Putnam County legislator Nancy Montgomery on the Cup of Joe political show. I'm John Marino. Nancy Montgomery represents the 1st District here in Putnam County. She is a Democrat. Nancy Montgomery, welcome back to Putnam Talk Radio. When we last spoke, COVID had come back. I think it was round 3. Now it's round 5 or 6, depending upon how you look at it. What's happening? Why does COVID keep coming back, reappearing in our society the way it has? We thought maybe it had begun by now. And how much of an effect does it have today on Putnam County?
I don't think COVID is ever going away. And I think we have to remain alert and prepared for all of these public health issues that we're faced with. How does it affect Putnam County? Well, I'm happy that we now have an epidemiologist on our county public health staff, Department of Health. And, I do have to say that our health department has worked so hard in managing this crisis. I am disappointed in the leadership on the county executive side and not preparing and having an open communication with the legislature in regard to all issues regarding COVID. But I think we are prepared now. I am disappointed that I go, as I have throughout the whole pandemic, to my county meetings, and nothing has been done in our county buildings to, upgrade our ventilation systems to protect our county workers. Mask mandates were never enforced. So I felt pretty vulnerable going into each and every meeting throughout the crisis. But, people treat it differently. I take it very seriously. I've got, people that I care for who have compromised immune systems, and I need to be very diligent about who I expose myself to. And I just, would expect that everyone would have the same respect for all of us walking around, knowing that, I can rely on my own immune system, but I can't rely on my son's immune system or I can't rely on, the elderly folks that I care for, that they're immune. So I think, it's here. It's become part of our life. And I think we, for the most part, have adjusted to it. We're all going to treat it differently. Some people are going to get their 3rd, 4th vaccinations. Some are not even going to get their 1st. And perhaps until we reach higher vaccination rates, we're going to have to live with this pandemic for a long time. I don't think it's ever going to go away. I'm not a public health professional. I rely on the experts, in county government and the health department. I'm really fortunate that, Westchester County's health department and Westchester County is taken me on under their wing as their little sister, and I get so much information out of their departments, and it's really useful for me to bring back to my constituents.
From Dr. Sherlita Amler's office, correct?
Yes, and from the county executive, George Latimer himself. So, we're such a small county in Putnam, and like I said, the response from the administration wasn't so open, and they didn't really communicate with our local municipalities or the legislature so much. So I turned to the other counties, Pat Ryan, George Latimer, daily updates included in their municipal calls, and it's been really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Pat Ryan up in Ulster County, you refer to. Now, monkeypox, yes. We've had it in Rockland recently and starting to spread around the area a little bit. And we get our first case in a long time of polio in Rockland County, but that person apparently was not vaccinated. Are these concerns? I see, more and more of the calls go out to the Biden administration from localities down in our area, give us more monkeypox vaccines. Is this something to really be concerned about? I know people say it's kind of regulated and ensconced within one community, but it starts in one place and winds up everywhere, maybe like we saw with COVID.
I don't think we could separate that one community from all of society. We all live together.
Right.
And I think, you know, I hate to say it, but that's the gift that I learned from COVID very early on. My first memo regarding COVID went out, was it January of 2020? Calling on our health department to inform me and the public as to what they were doing to be prepared. We have not gotten any information from Putnam County regarding monkeypox, but again, turning to Westchester County, got a message from the county executive with a phone number saying, please share this with your constituents. Anyone in Putnam County can come to the Westchester County community, Westchester County Medical Center for a monkeypox vaccination, and links to register. I've talked to many of my friends who have really great concerns about monkeypox, and they're saying it's been difficult to get through that system. I assured them it's early. I think Westchester was really launching it today and tomorrow. So rest assured that, you know, those vaccinations will be available. I did reach out to our local wonderful drug world of Phillipstown. Again, it's Phillipstown I represent, not Phillipsburg, but I did reach out, and I'm trying to get online with our local pharmacy, Drug World of Cold Spring, because they were the champion at vaccinating the entire community, along with the help of Putnam County Health Department, in vaccinating the entire community against COVID. So just want to touch base with her as always. She's Heidi Snyder and Mark Snyder are a great resource. And believe in public health and believe in vaccinating the community. So I'm sure they'll, if it's available to them through the state, I'd love to see local pharmacies get handed the vaccination and be able to distribute monkeypox vaccinations just like they did COVID vaccinations.
Nancy Montgomery, 1st District, a legislator here in Putnam County on Putnam Talk Radio, Cup of Joe political show. Her area encompasses the town of Phillipstown, including Cold Spring, Garrison, Nelsonville, Continental Village, and North Highlands, the meat of her district, the economy around Putnam County. Now we see the national downturn. How much does this hit home locally? Now, some may say, well, Putnam is not as big as Westchester County, Orange County, or Dutchess County may not hit as hard. And that's not really the case, I would think, that this affects everybody in one way, shape, or form.
It affects me personally. You know, my favorite place to go is the Catskills. I'd like to just take a day trip up there to do some fishing, and it costs me $75 to do that. It's an hour and a half from my house. So it's got to be affecting everybody, just, you know, thinking about, oh, my luxury of going upstate to fish. But we're talking about people who are trying to put food on the table, businesses who are seeing, you know, I come from a background in the service industry, 30 years in the restaurants in Phillipstown and Cold Spring. I still am able to do some shifts at my favorite place, Riverview Restaurant. I can work behind the bar, wait tables when they need somebody. And you know, they're seeing it too. It's not as busy as we expected. It's not as busy as it was during COVID. So, you know, we did try to ease the pain with eliminating the gas tax, you know, the gas tax, putting a halt to that for the time being. But I think people are still feeling it. And I don't see that it's going to be getting better anytime soon. You know, this is why I had voted down the budget each year that I've been in office, because it raises, they're raising taxes each time they pass a budget. Whereas, you know, counties around us are lowering taxes. We are seeing an increase in sales tax revenue. We're seeing an increase in revenue in our county budget. So let's give, my feeling is let's give the taxpayer a break and, you know, find other ways to ease the burden of inflation on them. And I look to like Westchester County, who is again eliminated, you know, fees for their civil service tests, made their transportation free for a period of time. There's a lot of things that we can do in government to ease that burden. I'd like to see the county government do that. And it's just a matter of, you know, maybe we need to wait to see what this new administration that's coming into Putnam County will do.
You made a really interesting point about how the place where you service sometimes is not as busy as it was during COVID. I find that astounding due to the economy.
Probably due to the economy. I don't know. Those numbers are not out yet. But, you know, there's a reason why that Main Street isn't so busy. And whether it has to do with COVID, the economy, I think it's people's pocketbooks. It's really expensive. You know, it's expensive for these folks to stay in business. Their products that they have to purchase to put the food on the table has increased so much that they have to raise their prices. So, it's not as busy. So the business owner isn't making as much money. The people that wait on tables, bartend, people in the service industry and tourism, they're not making as much money. And I mean, right now, I don't know. All I see is Amazon is the one that's making
they're every place.
Money. Like our sales tax revenue due to the internet sales is just off the charts.
Are we getting Amazoned out as a society, maybe?
Yeah.
It seems like we are everywhere.
We don't want to leave our homes sometimes. It's terrifying for some people to go to the grocery store, to go to the store. And this is, you know, this is the solution. And until we fix these public health problems and make it easier for people to go into the supermarket without fear of getting gunned down or catching COVID, this is what we're going to see.
Now, maybe things will pick up around the Nelsonville and around Cold Spring in the bars, in the restaurants when Haldane Blue Devils football kicks off in a few weeks.
Definitely. I was just out with a bunch of Haldane Blue Devil moms who, you know, from my group of friends, many of their kids have graduated. So I did say at dinner in Beacon with my girlfriends from high school, who's playing football this year? I have to go to a game. I don't have a child at Haldane anymore. So luckily one from my group is still left playing football, and I'll certainly be at those games. And I think it will pick up in the fall. Summertime is, you know, naturally pretty slow, people coming and going on vacations. And fall picks up the tourism industry. And, you know, we have so much to offer on Main Street in Phillipstown.
Yeah, you know, you get out of a game at Haldane, you want to stick around. I don't think there's anything bad about that. You look at your watch and say, I don't really have to be anywhere else except here right now, right?
We could just sit at that field and look at the beautiful ridgeline of the mountains of the Hudson Valley.
Right.
You don't really
need
to go anywhere. We're really lucky.
Yeah, you know, when I work a football or some other athletic contest at Haldane High, I look out of the press booth box behind me, and you got Orange County on the other side, and you look up north, and you can see Dutchess and Ulster, Westchester and Rockland, and even maybe a touch of New York City below you, too. Nothing beats that.
Yeah, and, you know, to segue maybe into, I know there's a topic you wanted to talk about, there's a reason for that. We in local government did a lot to protect that ridgeline, and we continue to, you know, do the work. And we have the state to thank for much of the protected land we have. They do pay taxes on some of that land. And I do have to say that the collaboration with the state and federal government in regard to those wonderful stretches of open space is just a gift. It hasn't always been like that in local government. In fact, from where I stood 10 years ago, sitting at the table with state leaders saying, you know, you really have to help us manage this land that you own. And we have Betty Budney to thank, my mentor, former councilwoman in Phillipstown for 26 years, and getting the state to pay their share of property tax on those lands. They've come a long way with being at the table with local officials and working out the problems, like, you know, emergency service responses up and down the mountain all weekend. You know, you're taking away from what us locals expect to have, you know, our EMTs and our fire departments available for us here, but they're up on breakneck, you know, all weekend long doing rescue. So we've had many conversations, and love it that the State Parks Commissioner, Eric Coolestead, along with his regional director, Linda Cooper and Evan Thompson, have been at the table with the mayor of Cold Spring, Kathleen Foley, and the town supervisor, John Van Tassel, and Christine Winward, the mayor of Nelsonville, you know, brought us all to the table to talk about solutions for addressing these, you know, high impact problems of tourism. It's great to have tourism. We spent so many years promoting tourism in our region, and now we're at the point where we have to manage it. And we didn't build the infrastructure before we promoted it. And now we're at the point where we're building the infrastructure.
Is it difficult to find that happy balance between knowing that time marches on and development is going to occur in some way, shape, or form every place now? And yet we do want to keep the pristineness of Putnam County and the Hudson Valley too.
That's, you know, that is our feature. That is our trademark. That's our brand, is our landscape. I'm not going to say that's all we have. We have our people. We have wonderful businesses. But in my mind, it's not difficult. This is why I got involved in government when I moved back from Oregon. I knew that this landscape needed to be protected. And my interest first and foremost was in land use and land use development. So with that, I became involved in the comprehensive plan process for what Phillipstown would look like 20 years from then. And now that, you know, that's been adopted, we rezoned the whole town with those protections in place, while at the same time putting things in that zoning code that made it easier for business owners as well. So we've come a long way, but it's a living, working document, and it always needs to be revised, much like the county charter, which is, you know, not so much involved with land use, but these living documents where we take a look at our local zoning codes, our local laws, our local resolutions. We need to take a look at them constantly. Just like at home, you need to take a look at your, you know, what, everything that you use to govern your home. You should take a look at your health insurance every couple of years, your car insurance. How can you save money? How can you get better insurance? How can you find better protections for yourself and your family?
Yeah, I think in my house today, it's the roof that we're taking a look at. Yeah. Funny you brought that up. Yeah.
What did you do to plan for that?
And, you know, we got to work on that. I had a little more storm damage here with the big storms a couple of weeks ago, too. I had a lot a year ago and seemed to have competing roofers looking to work here now, which I guess is good because you can select the one you want that way as opposed to just going with somebody who happens to be around. Nancy Montgomery, First District County Legislator here in Putnam County. Issues like crime and guns, gun violence affect the Hudson Valley, affect this tri-state area region. Now, around us, you got places like in Orange County and Newburgh and Middletown and in Dutchess County, Poughkeepsie, and below us in Westchester, Yonkers, New Rochelle, maybe part of White Plains, Peekskill, other nips and locales around Westchester County, too, that gun violence happens to affect. And we say that we sit here in Putnam County in the middle of everything. No big cities or even really small cities in Putnam County. And yet we're in the middle of everything. Things pass through us. How important is it to rein in what seems to be a growing problem when it comes to crime, when it comes to guns here, there, and everywhere, homeless people, mental health issues seemingly growing after all we've supposedly done to help mental health? It seems like we've done nothing.
That's a lot to unpack in one short interview. You know, it's been said, and we know in Putnam County, crime is down. Crime is down in Westchester. If you look at the statistics, crime is down. But what we see on the news is a totally different story. And how do we keep that from coming into, you know, our region? I believe it's constant communication with law enforcement. That's my hope. That's my wish. That's what I had with the previous sheriff. Not so much with the current sheriff. And I work really hard at trying to break through that political barrier. It shouldn't be that. And it's obvious to me that it is. And if I sound a little edgy about it, I am. In Putnam County, unfortunately, it's always been with the administration and with the sheriff's department, party above all else. And if we stay in that rut, we're at risk for, you know, disaster. You need to communicate with your local officials, your legislator, your mayors, your supervisors as to what is going on. There should be no confidentiality when it comes to that. I understand this information shouldn't be released to the general public, but when it comes to issues, yes, include your elected officials, include your local leaders. It's really important because they're on the front line too with keeping your community safe. So, you know, we just had this whole police policy review reform. This was a huge thing in New York State. Putnam County adopted their plan and sent it up to the state, and I'm waiting to see it be implemented. And I think that is one of the, that's one of the only tools we have right now in keeping all of this at bay, because it does involve mental health. It does involve protections for the deputies themselves and the public. And we do have a wonderful committee that was established to be the liaison between the sheriff's department and the public. And they've had some wonderful cultural outreach programs in Putnam County. I would like to see them meet more frequently with the sheriff, hold that sheriff accountable for those implementing those policies set forth in that plan that we submitted to the state, which involved, you know, body cameras, which involved more transparency and more diversity. So we, you know, like you said, we're pretty safe here in Putnam County. We have to work really hard to keep it that way.
A couple of controversial Supreme Court decisions a few weeks back on guns and abortion. I don't think either decision affects us in this area too greatly, but who knows? Your thoughts on both decisions, first guns, then abortion.
I might do it the opposite, because that's what I have in my mind, because I do work closely with Planned Parenthood. I'm really disappointed in the overreach of the courts. You know, and for anyone to act surprised about this is ridiculous. I've been on the trenches, you know, for over a decade with this kind of stuff. And I can't help but ask, you know, all you guys who were surprised, where were you? Were you knocking on doors in 2016 when we knew this was going to happen? This isn't a wake-up call anymore. It's actually happening. So, you know, the bottom line with both decisions for me in government, they are both public health issues. They both present huge challenges to public health. Just on an individual basis, the Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decisions and the Ruth decisions are a huge blow to our well-being as a society in general. You know, messing with someone's fundamental right to health care and safety, all for the sake of capitalizing on the supermajority of Trump's Supreme Court, only to achieve political gain, is a grave mistake. And I think it diminishes our evolution as a society. Triumph of one political party over another and its effects on our basic human rights is not healthy for our increasingly diversely rich country and our increasingly rich and diverse Putnam County that we need to recognize. So I think we better get it together and take a look what other rights, such as same-sex marriage and the right to contraception, are in danger too now. The logic that the Trump Supreme Court used in Dobbs could be used to target other rights. So, you know, we were a bit sleepy in 2016 with all of this. We knew it was going to happen. And the question now is, what do we do next?
Abortion. What do you do next? What would you recommend or suggest? For example, I've had a couple of Republican public officials look me in the eye and say to me, regardless of what anyone might think, whether you're pro or anti-choice, in New York and in this region of the country, nothing is going to change because our way of life is different here than it is in other parts of the country. I've had a Republican say this to me.
And they need to say that to everybody. And hopefully, you know, that will be on the record, and you'll be posting those interviews as well. I hope that's the case. I hope nothing will ever change, but I don't take anything for granted. You know, people were asleep. You know, abortion is or soon will be illegal in at least 18 states, and it'll be banned very early pregnancy in at least four more. And 22 states have abortion bans on their books, and that's not where it's going to stop. I just think, you know, we operate expecting that the Supreme Court precedents will remain intact, but when such massive changes are made on a national level, it interferes with the plans and the priorities, me and us in state and local and county government need to do. It distracts from the work we were focused on, because now we need to fortify ourselves against a case gone wrong. You know, that they're just already preparing for that. So progress is about moving forward. You don't have to call yourself a progressive to see how this chaos affects our work in Putnam and in New York State. So
when it comes to guns, me personally, I think the court kind of punted on their decision. They said, yeah, New York, you can open carry, but you can also make laws so that nobody can carry in a bar, in a restaurant, in a church, here, there, and everywhere. And oh, you can also make your training so stringent that people just look at it and say, I'm not going to go through all this. Forget it. I don't need a gun. Does this give public officials locally and around the state the opportunity? And I know we have some of the most stringent gun laws in the country. To make things even tougher, this is our opportunity to do this right now so that only law enforcement has a gun. And beyond that, maybe people who own certain kinds of businesses like banks, for if you're a bank manager or you run a check cashing joint, for example. But outside of that, who might need a gun for any reason walking the street?
Nobody needs a gun to walk the street. But whether you disagree with these decisions, you know, we should all be worried about the court's motivations and their motivation to come after our simple aspects of privacy. You know, this was just bad timing, this decision, the gun laws. You know, it only will exacerbate the epidemic of gun violence in the United States. Yeah, New York State does have some of the strictest laws. I think we're all scrambling to figure out what this means. And until like the state legislature or the attorney general get together to hand it down, we're not going to know. I don't think they've done that yet, but I so focus on local issues so much more. But, you know, the gun laws, sorry, there's a big truck going by.
Happens here too.
So I, you know, those of us in government who have to sit at a dais, you know, or have been doing this for years, it's a vulnerable place to be in. And I think about it all the time because I did experience a threat, and it prompted me to talk about, you know, gun violence in my town hall where I was serving. From that, you know, we were one of the first municipalities, I think, in our region or even in New York State to establish a local gun law beyond what the state had on the books. And we passed our safe storage law. You know, it was pretty much watered down by the time it was passed. And I was still happy to get it on the books and proud of that. But, you know, at the time, I couldn't believe the logic, but, you know, people thinking that I don't need to keep my gun locked up when my five-year-old's running around the house. So, to your question, I'm sorry, it's a roundabout.
No, that's
way. Fine.
This is all part of the question.
Yeah. I do want to answer your question, and I don't know what the answer is. This has been at the forefront of my mind and my core for as long as I've been in office. And, you know, I know I live in a county that that will, you know, go after me for proposing stricter gun laws. They did when I proposed the local gun law in Phillipstown, and their reaction to that was hiring an NRA expert to be the legislative attorney for the county. So, you know, pay attention. That's all. But, you know, I think we in local government have to pay really close attention. You know, I'm excited to welcome new administration to Putnam County, you know, understanding that we are of different parties, but our incoming county executive, apparent, because he's not elected yet and he's running unopposed, is well-liked across the aisle. And I know we're going to see changes in Putnam County. With that, you know, he is proposing to make this a sanctuary for the Second Amendment, proposing to make this a constitutional county. What does that mean? You know, these are wonderful things to say when you want to get extremists to vote for you, but we need to look beyond that. Again, I'm willing to look beyond that to say, sure, you could say that to get elected, but what does it really mean for us in Putnam County? You know, are we going to like go after, you know, meeting after meeting, feeling completely vulnerable sitting here that anybody that walks into our meeting is going to be carrying? Am I going to feel that threatened as I did in the past? Maybe. I just hope that locally we can see beyond that. That's not our role. We don't need to be making a sanctuary county for the Second Amendment. We need to work together across the aisle, as I know this incoming county executive is really good at doing. And, you know, listen to what the folks want in our county and not just what the rhetoric of your party. This party above all else has been what's ruined Putnam County. And, you know, I'm hopeful for the future and these changes that are coming to Putnam County.
Regionally across the Hudson Valley, we have congressional races. We have the primaries coming up towards the end of August. Then we have the race for governor, which is set obviously with Lee Zeldin, the Republican from Long Island, against the incumbent. Kathy Hochul running for her first elected term. Of course, she was appointed almost a year ago when Andrew Cuomo had to step down. Size up the congressional situation locally first and then move on into the governor's race.
And I think I might even touch on the state races too. I don't remember a time in local government where we've gotten more communication out of our current sitting elected officials, Sean Patrick Maloney, Sandy Galiff, and Pete Harcum. I'm really happy to see the state senator in my district go, because in the over a decade that I've been in office, there's been very little communication. So, you know, regarding resources handed down from the federal government, from our current representative, Sean Patrick Maloney, you know, we couldn't be doing better. I think he just allocated $2.8 million to Putnam County for infrastructure projects, and their offices are so accessible. I can't imagine anybody doing a better job, quite honestly. And it's, you know, again, the Republican Democratic thing. My issue is, how accessible are you to me? And you know, I reach out to Senator Pete Harcum, who's not even in my district, for resources or information. And you know, he's right there. He's willing to meet with me and constituents. So I think, I don't know what those races are going to hold. You don't know. I don't want to be naive about this. I'm working really hard to support the state assembly candidate, Dana Levenberg. She's, you know, former Sandy Galiff chief of staff. And
right. Sandy is retiring after many years. And Dana, of course, the town supervisor in Chappaqua and Newcastle, and she won her primary.
Yeah. And just her record of service that I know about, and just interacting with her and her knowledge of, you know, what she can do for my district. And honestly, in a way, sometimes that's what it's all about for us in local government. It's like, well, what can you do for our district? Let's talk to the mayor. Let's talk to the supervisors in my district and see what they need. The mayor, sorry, we have Nelsonville and Cold Spring. We have two mayors in my district. And, you know, we all have serious infrastructure needs. They all have serious infrastructure needs that their tiny budgets cannot manage. And they need the support of state government to take care of these things. So again, I go back to, I've never had better communication with these people that are in office now. And, you know, that's Sean Patrick Maloney and Sandy Galiff and Pete Harcum. So I'm looking forward to continuing to work with them.
And Pete Harcum, of course, state senator in Northern Westchester.
Pete Harcum.
Pete Harcum, yes, state senator in Northern Westchester.
Right.
Yeah, he thinks Hudson Valley wide, Pete. I know Pete for a long time.
He really does.
Westchester wide, but Hudson Valley and regionally wide. And you reference, of course, Sean Patrick Maloney, who's running for election in the 17th congressional district. He's got a primary battle against Alessandra Biaggi, who, of course, is now down in southern Westchester and kind of got redistricted out of what she wanted to do and had to move along. She thought she'd run for the district that was first created along the Sound Shore and out to Long Island. And now that got, by the special master, wiped out. So she kind of like had to find a place to go. And she decided to challenge Sean Patrick Maloney as he moves down from the 18th district to the 17th district. And of course, that includes where you are in Putnam County, a good part of Westchester, about 45% of Rockland County, maybe more in Rockland County. I think Rockland's 45% of the district. That's the way the special master set this up now, and a little further up into the Hudson Valley too. So Sean Patrick Maloney has, in the 18th as it was, a wide area to deal with. The 17th, if elected there, he'll have an even maybe wider district to deal with too. How do you locally, knowing that a representative has so many other people and areas to contend with, not just you, how do you make a pitch? How do you make a plea on a local level to, say, Sean Patrick and Maloney and say, please, Mr. Congressman, we need some help here?
Luckily, I've been in this long enough to know how to do this. So this is great. You know, you establish a relationship with their staff and you invite their staff to your district and you get to know the staff member that handles the veterans issues, that handles, you know, issues with the IRS. And you find that through what your constituents need. So my constituents call me because they're having a problem. I can't solve their problem with the IRS usually unless I bring in my state representatives or federal representatives. And that's how you get to know your representative staff. And that's how you establish that relationship. And, if they're really good at it, which they are, they make you think that you're the only one they're serving. And I truly believe that, you know, when it comes to attention to the Hudson Valley and the resources and the things that we need in my district, they're aware of it. They know. And to what you said, it's beyond me how they can manage the diversity of their districts that they serve. And that's why they're so good at it, because they can. Unlike other representatives that I've experienced in my time in elected office, who just I've never seen. They're present, they're here, whether it's, so they're sending a staff member, you know, I don't need the glory of the congressman always. I just need somebody to get me the answers for my constituent or help me figure out how to fix this dam and where am I going to get the resources to do this. And that's why, you know, Pete Harcum and Sean Patrick Maloney and Sandy Galiff, and I believe Dana, because she knows so much about it, are so good at this. And
By the way, before we go, your thoughts on the gubernatorial race?
Again, it's the same. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. So the governor has their regional directors, and Governor Hochul's regional director, Pavan, first week that the governor took office, he was, you know, in my district, meeting with me, meeting with the two mayors and the supervisor, asking us what we needed, what are the issues, how can I help? And that continues. It wasn't just a one-time meeting. That's an ongoing meeting that we have. In fact, I just met with him last week. I have a meeting with Senator Schumer's regional director on Friday here in the village, and we've combined it with the mayor and the supervisor. This is a new trend. In all my years in government, never have I seen the response from my representatives so strong.
Is this what it's about? You bring up an interesting point. Does it need to be just an ongoing meeting forever to get things done because things crop up every day?
It does. John, I will tell you, and I don't want to show my age, but I've been doing this a long time. And one of the most frustrating things for me is to have those same conversations year after year after year, because there was no access to our representatives. They didn't know, or administrations would change. And we're talking about the same things, like the issues of tourism and Breakneck and, the Route 90 corridor and you know, open space issues. We've literally been having the same conversation for 10 years. And sustainability of fire departments in EMS and finding volunteers. And that's one big thing that I'm so concerned about. You know, that conversation has been going on for such a long time. But, ongoing meetings make it happen. Get that parts commissioner in front of you at the table and tell him what's happening, and the stuff will get done. I was thinking of James Skoufis and talking about the redistricting, Senator James Skoufis, who was the hopeful for our state senator. And before he even was going to take office, he's another one that works like Senator Pete Harcum. He treats the Hudson Valley as regionally, and he's going to
serve. He's an orange, but he's regional. He's Hudson Valley wide, the way he thinks and what he does.
It's just brilliant. It's exactly what we need. You know, our ridge lines do not know borders. The train line does not have a border. You know, all of these issues that affect us, that state government is responsible for, don't know our confines of, you know, town lines, county lines. That's why I get involved with Westchester and Dutchess and even Ulster County. I look to them for examples and learn from what they're doing and, you know, learn from their mistakes. I think we have to look at this regionally overall.
And the Hudson Valley is a 7-county region. Nancy Montgomery, we thank you for all you do and what you've done. We know what you will continue to do in Putnam County and around the region. First District Legislator Nancy Montgomery, thank you for being part of Putnam Talk Radio again.
Very much appreciated, John, and Putnam Talk Radio. Thank you for the opportunity, and enjoy the great summer and the great outdoors of the Hudson Valley.
Putnam Talk Radio, produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built. By Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk in Westchester, right below, not too far from, the Putnam line. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth through a fiduciary standard up and down the Hudson Valley. And by Jaguar Land Rover, they're located throughout the Hudson Valley. They begin their trek through the Hudson Valley in the southernmost portion, Westchester County, right below us in New Rochelle, White Plains, and Mount Kisco. Catch all of our Putnam, Dutchess, Orange, Rockland, Westchester, and Fairfield, the County Talk Radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube. And don't forget now, we are on Apple Podcasts, too.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.